Hello, this is the Unspoken Life of the Military Wife podcast. I'm your host, Allison. I'm a wife and mom of two little girls and two fur babies and a 20-year male spouse veteran. So you know I have seen some things. This podcast is about creating connection and community while we navigate this crazy military life. Each week, I'll bring you practical tips and tactics, like how exactly do I pack out my house? What do I say to my kids when they're crying because daddy is gone again? And how do I make it through a deployment without losing my mind? And how the heck do I find and keep a job when we move every 2 to 3 years? We're gonna get into all the things. Look, I've seen and done a lot, but I don't have all the answers. So this isn't a look at me, I have it all figured out podcast. It's a come with me and we can figure it out together podcast. The military lifestyle is often very lonely and isolating. So let's build a community that moves with you wherever you go. Welcome to the Unspoken Life of the Military Wife. We aren't in full PCS season right now, but I know it's on a lot of people's minds anyways. We are going to be PCSing this summer from Colorado back to Washington, and we will be doing a full ditty or do-it-yourself move. This will be our 9th military move and 2nd full ditty, and I compiled a list of my best tips and tricks for navigating a PCS in a free guide. I apologize if you tried to download it recently. My email was not set up correctly and the guide was not being delivered, but I have fixed it and all systems are go now. So I appreciate your patience. And for those of you that reached out to me, letting me know that it wasn't working. But in this guide, I give you all of my pro tips, like what to expect financially before you pack out, where to rent a truck for the best deals, packing supplies, and then I walk you through the pack out process as simply as I can using the system that I do to keep it as low stress as possible. It's never going to be stress-free. We're moving after all. And then finally, how to plan your travel, what documents you need to keep track of, and then how to unload the truck and load in your house as efficiently as you can. This last one is one of my mil-spouse superpowers, I call it. I can unpack and have my house done, no boxes left, pictures and curtains up in around 3 to 4 days, which might seem a little bit crazy, but if you are strategic with how you unload the truck and disciplined with your unpack, it is 100% doable. So check out the link in the show notes or visit the website www.themilspousepodcast.com to download your free copy today. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm going to give you, we are about 6 months out now from our PCS. This summer, we are moving from Colorado back to Washington State. We are doing a full ditty or do-it-yourself move, and I'm just sharing with you in real time, because I thought it would be fun, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the move process. So from the last check-in, which was 9 months ago when we found out we were going, to now, honestly, not a lot has changed except for my stress level. I really try to be honest with you guys in how things are going and how I'm coping and the realities of our lifestyle, and that is that sometimes it's really crappy, and I feel like this season of the, I call it the awful in between, because it's like, you know, you're going, but it's still too far away to really do anything about it. So you're just kind of sitting in this uncertain, can't predict, zero control space. And it's really freaking uncomfortable. It is really, really, really uncomfortable. I am mostly stressed about where we are going to live and getting the girls registered for school, because it is, so it's January now and we're moving in probably the end of July. And that's the other thing, right? Probably we don't really know exactly how that's going down the line yet. A lot of that,
I think is gonna hinge on what happens with our house, because we purchased a home here in Colorado, and so we are going to be selling our home before we move to Washington. So that whole pipeline, what is that gonna look like? I don't know what it's gonna look like. It's kind of up in the air. You know, we definitely want to sell the house, but with the market and the interest rates where they are right now, how early do we need to put it on the market? And then I feel like we kind of have to be prepared to vacate maybe sooner than we want to. I don't know. I guess the positive part is that we have options in that line, and that the girls and I can go to Washington earlier, and Michael can just stay and finish his tour and turnover here. That wouldn't be terrible, but housing is really up in the air. We've decided that we're not going to buy a home in Washington. I just did an episode, I think it's coming out the week before this one, on should you rent, should you buy, should you live in housing? And I spoke on this then. I really think that number one, it's a personal choice. And then number two, I think you really have to look at the area that you're going into and the housing market that you're going to in, that you are going to, and where you are in your life. And we know we're going to be there for 3 years. So ideally we would want to buy something if you're going to be there for 3 years. But our unique situation is that this is our final tour. Michael's going to retire from this job that we're going to. So we want to start building the house that we have been dreaming of for the last, 7 years we've had the land. Yeah, I think it's been 7 years. It's been a long darn time. So we have the house picked out. Like, we know exactly what we want to build. It's just, and so, like, you know, the last years have just been daydreaming about, I guess that's one of the benefits to the military lifestyle, is that you live in a lot of different houses, right? We've moved, this will be our 9th military move. We've lived in a lot of different houses. We've lived in a lot of different areas. And so we know exactly what we want in a home. And so we're going to be able to build exactly what we want, which I think is really cool. And, you know, we're really lucky that we have that opportunity. So for us, you know, starting a build process like a year and a half after we get there and to have it ready by the time we're ready to get out, I don't want to be tied into another real estate transaction in that same time. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So that puts us into renting or living in housing. We still don't have hard orders. No idea when hard orders are going to come down the line. Again, we're 6 months out. That's, you know, would be surprised, to be honest, to have orders this early. It's probably going to be a lot closer, but we know that the housing wait list in Washington is really long. And so no idea if that's going to work out or not. And then, you know, I talked about in the show last week that the BAH rates came out the middle of December 17th, I think they came out. And the rates in Washington went down. Our BAH went down by $125 a month. And I'm like, oh my God, because all the prices, looking around on Zillow, and everything is at or above what our BAH, not everything, but It's up there. And then we've lived there previously. So we know that the utilities are going to be around $400 a month. That's a lot when you factor in that most of the homes are exactly at BAH, if not over. And then you've got like $400 a month in utilities. That's coming out of pocket for that, right? So it's just a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, unknowns. And I know, because I tell myself this, there is nothing I can do about it. There is nothing I can do about being able to get on the wait list for housing, other than asking Michael to poke the detailer about when we're going to get orders. Looking on Zillow right now, the homes that are up there are not going to be available this summer. So, I know this, and I think we all know this. But it doesn't stop, because I don't know, is it that, like, you feel the need to to do something. Like I want to feel like I'm being productive towards this, the goal of moving our family there. I don't know what it is, what it is mentally, but I'm mentally exhausted. That's what it is. I'm mentally exhausted because again, you know, the home that we own here, and one of the beautiful things about Colorado is that almost all of the houses have basements, like full basements, and the basement's unfinished, which is fine. I've got my gym down there. We've got all of our crap stored down there that we don't need, holiday decorations and surfboards that Michael doesn't want to get rid of, because obviously the surfing is, you know, primo here in Colorado. But you know, just the stuff that you just carry, you don't want to get rid of, but you're just kind of carrying it with you and all the places that you go. And Washington State, basements don't exist. Storage is very, very, very limited in our experience from when we lived there previously. And so I'm like, where's all this crap going? Where is all this stuff going to go? It is so stressful in that I know we're doing a ditty, right? Which means I'm packing everything. We're loading our own truck. And then I'm going to be unpacking on the other end. And so my brain, right? My type A brain wants to plan, right? I want to know where stuff is going to go. And then it's like, I don't even know what I need to get rid of because I don't know where we're going, what we're going to have when we get there. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's just that really frustrating. There's really nothing you can do, but you know, it's coming down the line space, which I hate. And this is when I am so ready to be done and not do this anymore, because I feel like the older I get, the older the girls get, the more times I've done this, the less patience and tolerance I have for it. And I'm there. So this will be, oh my gosh, 22 years. I've been a military spouse for 22 years. We've been moving around for 22 years and I'm done. I've had enough. I don't want to do it anymore. We're all done. But we've got one more. So the other thing that's really stressing me out is school for the girls. And because, and I feel like what's driving that is because you can kind of block it out for a little bit, but you know, I'm dropping the girls off at school. I'm picking them up from school and I'm getting all the emails from the schools and they're planning all of this stuff. Right? They're planning next year. I just got an email from Sophia's teacher today. Hey, incoming, you know, sixth graders, they need to pick what track they want to follow in school, you know, for their electives. And do they want to do this, that, or the other thing and open enrollment and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, holy crap. I don't know where they're going to school next year. And I don't want to, and I'm worried about being behind the eight ball with education in that, are we going to want the girls to go to school where they are districted for, or are we going to want to open enroll them into a better school? So side note, we have a little inside information into the education system in Washington because Michael's brother was on the board and is like, this is the school you want to go to. Don't go to this school, right? So we have all the inside information. So we know the school that we want the girls to go to, but there's really not a lot you can do. Okay. So here's the thing. So I want to say we've actually just dug in a little bit to this, 'cause I'm like, there's nothing that we can do. We don't have orders and we don't have an address. You can't register your kids from school. If you don't have orders, you don't have an address. That is not true. So in Washington, we can enroll the girls into school without having an address because we're military. So the next step for us, and this is something I'm going to work on next week, is contacting the school and getting the girls registered. And then from there, we pigeonhole ourselves into, we need to find a house or live in housing so that we can go to that school. Yay. So that's, you know, because I've, you know, again, I can't help it. Like I know getting on Zillow is pointless because there is the homes that are there are not going to be available when we're coming in the summer, but I can't help looking around anyways, just to see what's out there. You know what I'm talking about. And recently, my last few searches that I've done, I've been looking outside. Like, we really wanted to be right by the base this time around. And the home, the prices are just, they're either right at BAH or over BAH. And that, again, that's without utilities in there. So I've started kind of expanding out just a little bit, and I did find some more homes in that are a little bit further south than we want to be. But so I'm like, so that made me feel a little bit better. Like, okay, then we can actually maybe stay in BAH because the rent is just a little bit below. And then by the time you add in the utilities, it would put us like right at. And, but a lot, not all of those homes are districted for the school, that middle school that we want the girls to go to. So that is where we're at, with all of that business. And again, you know, if you're a military family, this is the mental chatter. I'm just sharing with you. This is the mental chatter. I don't know if this is how your brain works, but mine, it is really freaking stressful right now, and stressful because I have zero control. I don't know what's happening. I don't know when we're going. I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we're living. All of that stuff it takes a toll mentally, for sure. I am really tired. My temper is very short lately. I don't enjoy it. I'm trying really hard. I told you guys about the miracle morning in the January 1st episode. I'm on day 29, I think, of that. So I've been doing that every day, which is good. Trying to get outside and walk the dogs when it's not negative 15 degrees here. So I've been able to walk the dogs the last 2 days, which is really good. So just trying to get outside and get some fresh air. Exercising. I always work out. That's never been an issue for me. So that has been good. So those stress things are good, but it is just the mental load it's a lot. And then it's the trying to keep it, all of these things, these conversations that Michael and I have around it, away from the girls, kind of, because I don't want to stress them out. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Da, da, da. Like, that's my mental chatter, but I don't actually say it out loud because I don't want to stress the girls any more than they have already got their underlying level of stress. They haven't been saying, we're still kind of far out. So they've been, you know, they haven't really voiced that as of right now. And I think for Sophia, she's going to be quote unquote graduating. I think that's hilarious. Graduating from fifth grade. They do this whole like ceremony, like clap out thing, which is really cool. I think is really cool. Savannah really liked it last year. It's like a fun way to send them out. So she'll be kind of closing the chapter on elementary school as we move anyway. So I'm hoping that's going to help her transition. And then for Savannah, the big like bone that we're dangling is that the schools here start early for middle school, and it's brutal for my little mini me who likes to sleep in like I do. Is she's got to be at school. School starts at 7:50, which I know is not abnormal, and it's brutal for Savannah for sure, because elementary school starts at 8:30, right? So it's a lot earlier, well, 40 minutes earlier, which is a lot when you don't like to be up early. And so the middle school that we want the girls to go to in Washington starts at 8:50. What? I mean, come on. That is like primo, which is honestly really where it should be, because like middle school, high school, those kids don't want to get up early. Nobody wants to be up that early. Start the elementary school kids earlier. They're already up super early anyways, right? So she is really, both of them are really excited about the later start time. So that's kind of like the carrot that has been dangled for them in that way. But yeah, so, and then as far as the house goes,
packing wise. So packed all of the holiday decorations away. Did get a cool tip from another military spouse when she was showing packing out holiday decorations. She used old Christmas wrapping paper to wrap their stuff. And I was like, ooh, that's really smart, because I have wrapping paper that is not really my favorite anymore, but you don't want to be wasteful and get rid of it. So a great way to recycle it, right? So I did do that. What I didn't like though is that, because I was using like the taller rolls, because those are more of a pain in the neck to move than the other ones. And the taller rolls, it's hard to get the paper off, right? And because they're really long. So I was just trying to rip it, which was a little awkward. And then the paper is a lot stiffer than like packing paper, which is a lot softer. And so it was a little stiff and hard to bend stuff around, I thought. And maybe the paper that I was using was just a little on the thicker side, and so not as ideal, maybe. I don't know. But I think that is a really cool idea that I might try more. So stand by as I actually start packing. I think I'm going to go ahead and go through my wrapping paper and pick the stuff out that's really not my favorite anymore, that, you know, I still have a little bit left, but I don't know if I really want to use it, you know what I'm saying? And set that aside as I start to pack up other stuff. So another thing that we are starting to do in the house is, again, we know, because we've lived in Washington State previously, that the storage is not there. They don't have basements. Unless you want to use your garage. I actually like parking my car in the garage, especially in Washington, because it rains so much. I don't want to be schlepping all my stuff in and out of the rain. So I'd really like to use my garage for my car. And I know I'm not going to have a place for my gym. So I'm thinking that the garage is going to probably end up being my gym. So then we don't have a lot of space to use for storage. So, and we know that we're going to be there for 3 years, and then we're going to our forever house. So we're kind of taking a very critical eye as we're looking around of like, okay, am I going to need this or want this in the next 3 years? And if I don't, our plan right now is to get a storage space probably in Virginia, because that's where our house is going to be. And note, Michael looked it up, because he's like, Mr. Cross all your T's and dot all your I's. He looked at the JTR, which is, oh gosh, what does that stand for? Joint travel, whatever. It's what is like the Bible for travel stuff. Is it travel regulation? Joint travel regulation? Maybe, is that what that stands for? I don't know. But it is like where you go for the rules and the do's and don'ts for travel and all this other stuff. So he looked it up, and for PCSing, we could rent a U-Haul and take a load of stuff to a storage unit, and that weight, get weight tickets. So weight empty and weight full, and that weight counts in our weight as we move to Washington State. So we'll still get credit for the weight that we take to Washington State. So if you're like, oh, I don't know, I really want, because it's, I feel like that's something that you, it is a little bit of a, I don't know, everybody's got their own opinion on, do you know, some people are like, don't get rid of anything, especially if you're doing a ditty, don't get rid of anything until you get to your next duty station. You want all of the weight that you possibly can. I'm a little bit of the other camp in that, and we've never bumped against our weight limit. Like, we've always been way under what our weight limit is. I'm looking at it as more of a, it's more crap that I have to pack and more crap that I have to load onto a truck, fit onto a truck, and find a place for in my new house. And so we are looking at it as, okay, if we don't need it in the next 3 years, oh, I've got some of my Nana stuff that I really like, or there's these books that I have from college or whatever that I don't want to get rid of, they're reference stuff, but I don't necessarily need it in the next 3 years. We're going to pack all that stuff up, and we're going to get a storage space, and including some of our furniture. I have a curio cabinet, and I've got that I don't need to take with us, and I've got
my grandmother's hope chest that has like a bunch of heirloomy stuff in it. Again, I don't want to get rid of it, but it doesn't have to come with us. So we're, you know, what can we like pare down in that way and stuff wise? Because when we moved from Washington to here to Colorado, we maxed out that truck. I mean, it was really full. Michael was like tying in the garage stuff, because that's the most pain in the neck is like, you know, if you look at the YouTube videos, and I highly recommend if you're going to do a Diddy move, there's a lot of YouTube videos on how to properly load a truck. And it's you load all of your boxes. And this is where having boxes of a similar size. And again, I know this is also not everybody's opinion, but because people are like, get boxes wherever you can, from Costco, from Trader Joe's, from other people that are moving, like whatever, don't pay for boxes. That is a path, which is, you know, that you can do. However, then you end up in a situation where you've got 50 different boxes that are all these random sizes. Like, we had our neighbor next door to us moved out of their house. And so I was helping her load their truck, and she hadn't even finished packing. And so my little military moving brain was like, oh my God, this is a SH show. And she'd just been like saving her Amazon boxes and all this other stuff. So you have all this stuff that you need to pack, and it's like in these weird boxes. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a pain in the neck. And then once you take everything out to the truck and then you're trying to load the truck, it's like a freaking game of Jenga trying to load all your stuff into the truck. Whereas if like we did, we went to the U-Haul store, we've got boxes that are all X, Y, and Z sizes. They're all pretty uniform. You put the bigger ones on the bottom, smaller blue, blah, 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 you're done. That's it, right? As opposed to like, oh, this one, oh no, and now, and like nobody wants to take that time. You want to get all your crap on the truck as quickly as you possibly can and be done. So you load all your boxes into the back, and then you load furniture, and then at the end of the truck is inevitably where all of your random garage crap goes, right? Your bikes, your ladders, your lawnmower, all of your shovels, and whatever, you know, all of the stuff that doesn't fit in a box. That's all the stuff that goes onto the back of the truck. And it's just like, and the stuff, right? All the things that don't fit in a box, that's what's going in the back of the truck at the end of it. And so when we moved here, we were right at the end of the truck. I mean, there was not a ton of space left. And so, and then since we have lived here, Michael has grown his tropical fish. Oh my God, I can't even tell you how many flipping fish tanks we have. It's insane. And I love our fish, our saltwater fish, and our tank is not super huge. But we've got the tanks for quarantine, and oh my gosh, if your significant other has saltwater fish, you know what I'm talking about. It's bananas. So we've got all of this like fish paraphernalia, I'm gonna call it, and that we didn't have when we moved here. And I'm like, where is all this stuff gonna go? How is it gonna get on the truck? Number one, because we were already pretty darn close to maxing out the biggest Penske truck we could get. And then again, where's it going to go once we get there? So those are kind of the logistical games that we're playing in our brains. So that's where we're at. It's honestly, this sucks. This is my least favorite part of the moving process. It's, you know, you're going, but you don't know when or where or any of the details yet. And it's just like, you're kind of sitting in limbo, and it 100% sucks. So that's where we are. I think that's enough rambling for today, but I will check back in again with you guys in another few months, probably 3-ish, unless something really fun happens that I want to share with you. I have an Amazon list that has moving supplies that I really have liked that we have used. We bought a hand truck and we bought the sticky stuff that you can put on the stairs so that you're not tracking a bunch of dirt and stuff in as you're loading in and taking and unloading the house, and some other, you know, different types of moving supplies and things like that we use. So there will be a link for that in the show notes if you want to check some of that stuff out. Some of the stuff I'm going to be using is new to us this time. There's some bags that kind of look like the giant IKEA bags, but they zip that I'm going to be getting for like linens and stuff like that. So I'll let you know how that's working out. And then this is going to be our first move using Box Ops. Box Ops she's a military spouse. I had her on the show last summer for the PCS series. Super awesome. Love. She was so gracious. And she's like, let me send you some samples. And I was like, oh, cool. So I can just, you know, before we talk, just so I could, she sent me the whole freaking thing, like the whole system. So I'm set. I am ready to go. And it's already helping because I already have stuff that I know is going to go to storage, right? We don't need it. And so I have already labeled some of that stuff. And what's really cool about the Box Op stickers is that they go on two sides of the box. So it's real, and they're color coded, and it's really big writing that it says on there what it is. And so you can very quickly look at a stack of boxes and know, right? Because we were in this situation in Washington where I would not let myself really start hardcore packing until we were a month out, 30 days out, because I knew I just want to get it done. So I had to restrain myself, hold myself back so that we weren't living in a sea of boxes forever. So we had started to load stuff into like the dining room area because we always sat at the island in the kitchen anyways. We never used the dining room. So we kind of moved the table to the side and started packing up boxes there. And I remember that I packed something that I needed and I was like, oh, it's in a kitchen box. And we're like, it's where? Because right, you write on the top of the box what it is or what's in it. And then you stack all the boxes on top of it. So then you're like, well, what is in that box? I don't know what's in that box, right? So this, what's cool about the labels is again, that they're on two sides. So then it makes it really easy to identify what you're looking for, where you're going. So yeah, so Box Ops will be new this time too. So I'll let you know what I think of that system. And I think that's it. All right, until next time. What's up? Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you haven't already, please make sure that you're following so that you don't miss any new episodes. And I would love it if you would consider becoming a subscriber. Check out the details in the show notes. I'm so happy you enjoyed the Unspoken Life of the Military Wife podcast. Please help us spread the word about this show by sharing it with a friend and leaving a written Apple Podcast review. If you have any questions or follow-up to this episode, you can send me an email at themillspousepodcast@gmail.com. I would love to connect with you if you're on social media. I'm on Instagram at themillspousepodcast. And then you can also find additional resources on our brand new website, themillspousepodcast.com.